Blog Talk Radio.
Was thinking about it.
You can do.
Bing, 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 bing. Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Evers.
Introduce yourself.
It's just thinking about it. It's going to pop in. Well, hey, I want to welcome everybody to the Transformation Cafe. Mercury's in retrograde, and our intro has decided to kind of do whatever it's doing. Oh, let's try it again. It's going to think about it. It might pop in again. Let's see. I guess not. it's just thinking about it. So, yeah, hi, I'm Robin Misevich and with Amy Frost, and we are the
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everybody. I want to welcome the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, with my lovely co-host, Miss Amy Frost. And we just are so glad to be looking at chapter 10, which From Sensitive is the New Strong by Nader Marjani. And this one's very, for me, it really got me very sensitive and looking at things. And the last couple, when Mercury's in retrograde, so there's all kinds of sensitivities going on in the world. And Amy, what are you thinking about all that with it? With just the fact that we've got a lot of these things that are coming up that just make it that much more of a heightened thing for an awareness of like looking at what's in front of us.
So for me, it's what are the bells that are tolling for us?
They toll for thee.
Disguised as many, many things as our gender.
Yeah.
Culture, or the people who tell us who they think we are, who they think we should be. What bells are you listening to? And are you ringing your own bells?
You get the little jelly and like be a belly dancer and have a whole bunch of them at your waist. There we go.
There you go.
So the mantra for this chapter is I embrace my gender. And I think it's really interesting because I want to bring into the conversation about how people are really looking at gender. We have people who are non-gender, how some people are choosing to be binary. There's a lot of different categories of things that just the last year or so, it's gotten that much more having an awareness about that. I know I've got, you know, family members with their younger spouses and things that are really walking through that. So I think it's interesting that, it's that generation mostly from my awareness that that's something that's really coming up. And I think it's more than, it seems to be looking at a lot of dynamics, which we're going to talk about in the chapter as well, about things from culture. And I think part of it's basically kind of a no more, kind of like, you know, this shall not pass and we're not going to do this anymore when it comes to stuff like that. And I think that's part of what this gender shifting, this gender non-gender is really about, is I'm not going to have somebody else, you know, telling me what I am or what I'm not.
Well, and the title you put on our podcast today is Bring Your Best Self Forward, Moving Past Gender Beliefs. And I think that's what this really is acknowledging who you are, which is really beyond our gender, whatever that is. You know, whether we decide it's this or that or the other, great. But it's really like, who am I? How can I be my authentic self and my authentic power? To me, anyway.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Because I think it seems that people can get really caught up in how other people are seeing me. Instead of having a sense of my real true self, because, you know, because I mean, for me, you know, we grew up in a generation where women wearing more comfortable casual clothing might be considered a tomboy or something like that. And, you know, things like that for, you know, and then men wearing dresses being, you know, cross-dressing and all that kinds of stuff. So there's a lot of.
Even, you know, for me, being in the, you know, working for the Department of Defense for 20 years, and I wore suits, right, with the little fake ties, And in order to appear, you know, a peer to those around me. And I almost felt like a counterfeit man.
And that still goes on with just military service in the way that, you know, the what the uniform does on a psychological level for people. And you can get into the whole conversation about that, about what uniforms do and don't do when it comes to psychological, you know, things for people. Yeah. So, you know, that's a, just another layer, I think, of what's really happening with this whole gender norm. Anita, you know, starts the chapter, as I said, we've been in a male-dominated paradigm for far too long. And we are seeing the repercussions of the suppressed feminine energy. And she says, you know, men who are empathic also suffer because it's a matter of a reverse gender bias about them not being masculine enough. So it goes straight into, you know, no matter what's going on with how you feel about something, you know, there's always going to be somebody out there that could say too much, too little, you know, too loud, too soft, in the way that we're seeking to just be authentic with ourselves and others.
We're not sensitive enough.
Yeah, for sure. Too vulnerable, that kind of thing. Anita goes into a lot of detail about her experiences with her Indian culture and talks about her arranged marriage that she had. And well, she's got a couple of statistics on here that I thought were really interesting about women in general, because she said until the 1973, women couldn't apply for a credit card by themselves or even get a loan. They would have to have, they would have to have their father or husband's signature on that. I remember Jane Curtin. Jane Curtin was a comedian on Saturday Night Live when it first started. And it was so revolutionary for her because she was making very good money, but yet she had to get co-signers so she could go ahead and get a checking account and also a credit card.
Crazy.
I remember that story about her. Yeah. And it was interesting, too, that another thing that Anita has in here in this chapter is like Hewlett-Packard was an international computer and technology company. And she said it was internationally reported that women who applied for a job that they had to have 100% of the qualifications, but men only needed to have 60%.
Yep.
So, you know, having this different kinds of bias and things like that. When you were going through all your stuff with military and stuff that you served on that, you know, what did you see when it came to levels of, you know, the gender bias with that?
Well, you know, there's all kinds of viewpoints depending on where you were standing. For me, it was always get more education, get more experience. So none of that mattered, you know, that I was the go-to person, that they depended on me, they counted on me. And I believe once you get yourself in that space, the rest of it does not matter. I'm working with, mentoring a young woman, and she was really concerned that, older people won't take me seriously, you know, when I'm, you know, counseling them. And I'm like, you know what, I hear you. And once they start getting value from you, once they feel your connection and compassion, they're going to wait. They're not even going to remember your age. They're not even going to think about that. They're going to think about the benefit that they're getting. And I really believe that's true. And that's what served me. I worked hard, certainly. And there were people who didn't get it. But you know what? I didn't give them my time, money, and energy. And, you know, I worked hard my whole life, my whole career. And I've always been kind, and I've always been supportive of others. And I think it's a lot easier now, although stuff is still in the way. But I want to read this from the section, The Runaway Bride, here in 173. And she says, while breaking free can be tough, it's much easier when we come from a place of power. That power comes from being who you truly are. When we rebel against the biases that comes with these filters, without self-love and strength, conviction, and peace with ourselves that comes with it, breaking free can be extremely painful. And I know for me, one of my big ahas was my first husband was very verbally abusive, and thank God he became physically abusive so I could leave, and he did it in front of one of our sisters. But at that point in my life, it was like I just thought that's what you did. And I read the book Pulling Your Own Strings by Wayne Dyer. And that changed everything for me. And I was in my early 20s, mid-20s at that point. And it was like, no, I'm in charge of my life no matter what anybody does or doesn't do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was such a pivotal book. My goodness. You know, if you're not familiar with Wayne Dyer, he was such a great teacher, such a trailblazer when it came to like looking at yourself and self-power and what that looks like. And boy, well, at least for 30 years, you know, three decades, he really was making quite great strides and really helping people to feel connected to themselves and also to this, you know, their sense of, you know, who am I, you know, a spirit having a human experience. What does that look like and how I can, you know, walk in that.
And he really felt like his work mattered and he really wanted to help people and it wasn't doing that well by the traditional ways. So he got a car, he filled it with books, and he went all over the country and made a tipping point. And then he was the first one to go to PBS and do specials. Mm-hmm. You know, so he made his own breaks. Just because he was a male didn't mean that made him successful.
Yeah, like I said, he'd be able to be a trailblazer for just, you know, people coming, you know, now with being able to go out there and do that kinds of stuff. You know, when it, back in the day when, you know, you, when it came to self-publishing, the people thought you were crazy because you didn't have a publishing house.
Right.
And you would go and do all this stuff on your own. And it's like, that's what we all do now. So, you know, a few decades ahead of his time when it came to something like that. But, you know, just kind of being the model of all these different things. So one thing I really had talked to Amy about before we did this chapter was Anita goes into a lot of detail about just the challenges of being Indian and some of the things that really hold her back. You know, she had a prearranged marriage and literally she had, you know, she woke up 3 days before the wedding and just, she just knew that it wasn't something that she could do. She really felt her, you know, her inwardly, it was just like, you can't do this. You have to stop it. And so she went to her mother and let her know that, Mom, I can't do this. And her mother had basically done the prearranged marriage and she vowed that she would not have her daughter go through something like that if that was not her wish. And so she really stood between her and the culture. The Indian culture with the other family and just all the repercussions that happened with that because there was a lot of shame and a lot of blaming that went on from that of the fact that she wasn't complying and that they really guilted, you know, her mother and also father of like, you need to keep this woman in control. And instead of having her say, you know, this is not what she wishes to do. So it was very much coming from a place of love and helping her to basically have her own voice in the world. But, you know, along with that, you know, there was the whole conversation about, you know, being, you know, too old to get married and what that was going to look like. And in that culture, it's interesting that you don't necessarily just get approval from your husband. You get approval from his whole family when it comes to what you do or don't do. So, I mean, if she didn't, you know, if she wanted to go out and work and the rest of the family said, oh, no, you're going to stay home and be home and that's the way it's going to be, you know, no matter who in the family felt that way, even if it wasn't her husband, that was something that she had agreed to do because she married into the family.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm sure that would have been a totally different reality for her. But even with that, you know, she, you know, once she had her near-death experience, it's one thing that she really realized because she really goes out of her way to talk about, you know, culture and all this is biological. It's part of what we have on here. So I'm going back a little bit before the runaway bride part, you know, she says our culture, genders, our biases and restrictions are filters rather than truths. Outside in our 3D world, there is no gender bias because there is no gender, just energy, which is neither masculine or feminine. Gender is a part of our biology on this planet. For the purpose of reproduction, by recognizing this point, we can more clearly see gender bias and restrictions for the false filters they are and help ourselves and others to break free from them. So when she had her near-death experience, she just lived it firsthand. She really saw how there was just this, there's no place for, and she says that she realized that there was no room for gender in that room. And I loved that. I was like, yeah, this is, let's talk about that.
Yeah,
let's bring heaven to earth. There's no gender bias. There's just no gender. I love that.
Absolutely. And I love that heaven to earth in this a whole nother way. And you know, you had talked about, you know, the codependence of culture and that people who can stand beyond that, like her mother, you know, stood for her and with her, even though she knew it was not going to be easy for anybody. And so what I want to support you each in doing is making sure, who am I standing up for? Certainly you want to stand up for yourself, but we need to stand up for each other. And we need to find people who unconditionally love us and stand up with us and for us. I mean, there's times when, you know, you may have to say, wait a minute, you might want to look at that. And I still stand with you. I stand for you. And it's really important to have those people. And you had mentioned something before we got on, Robin, about her father and the codependence with culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he had a really hard time with the fact that his, you know, here Anita's mother was basically standing between her and the culture and the other things that were happening within the families. And it really put her father in this position where he was not happy about that. And a part of it was being you know, shunned from the other, you know, they were basically just saying, you know, why aren't you controlling your daughter? You know,
right.
Why are you making this okay for her? You know, you're not good parents. You're not making her comply with the way that we do things. So there was a shaming in the culture about what was happening in the fact that, you know, he wasn't basically playing the game like they've been playing for centuries. You know, so he had to deal with that on a cultural level. So, you know, yeah, definitely not happy about that, with working with that kinds of stuff. So it was very difficult. And she said that really until she had her near-death experience, they always had that as a wedge in their relationship. But it was so healing for her when she, you know, when she passed away, her father was the one who met her and said,
right.
You need to go back and there's things for you to do. You have a higher purpose now. You know, and he was the one to tell her that, which I think is just so, you know, having that as a little piece of the whole story for Anita is just so beautiful that, you know,
right.
To have that kind of a struggle between them when she was younger and him having to struggle with culture. And then when he gets on the other side and just said, oh, all of that was just, you know, part of that reality and I'm here now. Yeah, it was a game and it was part of that story, and now that's not a part of the story anymore. Let's move on to something bigger and higher and more purposeful for just your soul. Just for a soul, you know, a soul thing. So with the with recognizing that, wasn't the way it was, you know, there's no gender in this realm. She says, we are just pure spiritual beings we're magnificent beyond belief. We're strong, we're powerful, and these are the qualities that we all are, all part of our loving ourselves and all part of the universal consciousness. So I think that's something that we really need to hold on to and to remind ourselves of just being, you know, that's one thing I love about when you say me, to me that's magnificent energy.
Ooh.
So it's being able to embrace yourself as me when you say, it's me, I'm magnificent energy.
Let's ring the bell on that. All
right?
That's
a great bell ringer, yeah. And, you know, and so it's really important to remember that when you tell people that, you know, oh, it's me. And, you know, inside you tell yourself, magnificent energy.
Nice. Well, one thing I want to read a paragraph here, and we'll dance with this a little bit. And back to the, you know, heaven and earth and genders and all. She says, here on earth, both genders are equally important. As with yin and yang, one without the other creates an imbalance. As one who is an empath and therefore more emotional than other people, I encourage you to embrace all your superpowers as your strengths. Whether you're a man or a woman, transgender, gay or straight, or somewhere, wherever else that may be, embrace them all. We label our sensitivities as feminine qualities, and they are, but in a yin sort of way. We don't have to give these qualities a gender. They're equally as important as those yang qualities, so valued in our current paradigm, qualities such as being assertive, headstrong, stubborn, aggressive, and tough. And moving past all that, again, not worrying about is that a male with those energies or female, who cares? It's like we need to come together, all of us. And our dear friend, Dr. Kristen, she says she's an allist, which she is,
mm-hmm.
and I appreciate that about her. That is like, how do we all come together, and how do we make sense of this? You know,
mm-hmm.
and how can we love, and how can we do what we're all here to do? And you talked earlier, well, not with our audience at this point, but you talked about dreams and being supported or suppressed. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, because we want to look at, you know, we talked about five ways we can shift this century-old, you know, old gender norms. And one of them is, you know, what are your dreams? I mean, one of the parts of the story with Anita, like I'd said, was, you know, unless her whole family, you know, her marrying into this family, they agreed on her dreams, they were like, oh, no, you can't do that. That's not going to be okay. So really looking at your life and saying, you know, what are the things I want to be making or doing in my life? What makes me excited? what are these things that I know that just I feel like, you know, this is things that my soul wants to do. Do you have people out there who are cheerleaders for you or people who are mentors who can help you walk through that process? Or do you have people who are suppressing you and saying, no, you can't do that. That's not going to be okay. I was talking to a younger girl today, and she's been going through therapy for quite a few years, and she's a wonderful photographer. And I was talking to her about that, like, well, how can you use these talents, and where would you want to do that? And she said, well, my counselor had told me that that was a nice hobby, but it wasn't something I could make a living at. And I said, well, that was her filters. That wasn't you. Mm-hmm. If that's something that excites you and you're good at it and you feel like you make a difference, then you need to do that. Because it's something that needs to be in the world, because it's part of your soul expressing. So it's those kinds of things of, you know, and we can get that even in kindergarten. You know, we draw something and we want to be this artist. We have a teacher that says, oh, no, you can't draw. You know, that does not look like a tree.
Exactly. Well, I made a purple tree and I got into all kinds of
things. Right. You know, it doesn't have any boundaries. I'm like, how can that be a tree? You know, that kind of thing. So, and, you know, number four was recognizing belief systems of the culture agenda that you're being asked to. You know, are there things that you're being asked to do that feel like you're having to obey or comply or being subservient to somebody? You know, and looking at that is like, you know, who are these things that they're asking me to do serving? Is it something that really resonates with me, or does it feel very suppressive? It's like looking at ways that you can move through that and past that into a way where it can be healthy for you. I think that, you know, I have family, extended family members that, you know, because of their cultures, it's almost like they're choosing to do this gender change for basically being a statement about, I'm not going to be this anymore. This is, you know, we've been doing this for centuries, and I'm just not going to be that kind of, you know, complying to those things and what I'm being expected to do instead of what I really am truly doing because it's right for me. So I think those are things that are really need to be out there. And, you know, Goyanne was sharing with Amy about it, being so codependent. You know, one of the things as an empath that we really have to watch ourselves with is we want to have everybody feeling comfortable around us so we can feel okay. So when you have these things that are basically being thrown on you, like, well, you should be this and not that and things like that, well, you know, we may slide into that just because they're not comfortable with the fact that we're trying to just be our true selves. So we compromise ourselves in that process. And we really deny ourselves on a soul level of being able to express who we are or who we aren't in something that really resonates with ourselves, just so we can feel comfortable with our, you know, what we have around us. So it's something we really need to be looking at and like, okay, if that's true for you, I really, really encourage you, like, how are there small ways that I can start moving into a place where I can be more comfortable and feeling safe? Because safety is such an important thing when it comes to being able to express yourself and realizing, you know, when you've got uncomfortableness, it's like, is there that their uncomfortableness or is it something that's really mine? So it's really important to be able to look at boundaries and see what's really true.
Well, and I think it's really important, your point, to, you know, about being, feeling safe, and that I think it's up to us to know when we feel safe and don't feel safe, and what do I need to do to feel safe? Who are the people I need to be with? What are the processes and structures I need in my life? Again, there's a difference, though, between being safe and being in prison, and sometimes it's hard to tell a difference.
Right, exactly. And so, you know, another step is to listen to your heart. Really get into this place of like, well, how will I do that? You know, find a place where you can feel comfortable and safe. Bring up, you know, some paper and a pen and just write. It doesn't necessarily have to be about writing. It could be about drawing. It could be about expressing. But there's something really important about asking yourself some of these questions of like, you know, where do I feel safe or how can I feel safe, and allow your soul to speak to you in ways that you can helpfully, you know, get some answers for yourself. And if you don't know, it's like, you know, I don't know what to do. Help me to figure out what that looks like and just like, what's my next step? What's my next thing that I can look to? And just kind of be quiet with yourself and see what comes for you. You know, and be really open. It could be a song. It could be, you know, anything. It could be a billboard that you drive by for whatever reason. You see some kind of a slogan or something, and you're like, oh, my God, I never saw it that way before. So it could be anything and everything that Spirit's using to be able to give you that kind of signs that you're looking for to help you with it. You know, Amy and I have a friend today. She was sharing about how she was really wanting to get more help with the different things she wants to do with her career. And she said, I really need to get people. And all of a sudden, she's getting shown by other people that you're so gifted and talented. We have this whole group of people that are helping us with our business. And we realized that we want to go the direction that you see it being and how you could help us make it. And so for her, it was definitely an invitation for her to get people together so she can expand in the things that she's really dreaming of. And really, you know, she's getting a nod from Spirit about, yes, take the advantage of that. And like, here's, you know, here's money, here's accounts, here's other people who could be wanting to use the same talents that you have. And it was never a direction she thought she would go with her stuff. It's just something that she felt very very important that she did for her own career, but yet it can help so many more people. She had no idea that it was going to be that expansive. So it's about, you know, being able to really say, you know, I need to, you know, make a list of things that you would do for somebody else, maybe, about, you know, how would I help to take care of a person and what would that look like? And then really look at the list and maybe there's some things in there that are for you and how you could take care of yourself. So I think those are really good answers. So, you know, really seeking to look at the codependency and, you know, how you are being a highly sensitive person as an empathic person and seeking, you know, are there these ways that I look to be approved? Are there ways that I seek to have other people happy and lower conflict so I can feel comfortable? So those are all things that really can be ways that we're protecting ourselves through culture, gender, belief systems, all the things that we have going on with everything. So, Amy, we want to go ahead and look at our meditation.
I would be honored to.
Okay.
All right, so I want you to take a nice deep breath in and release. As our dear Kristen would do. Now we've kind of got it shaken up a little bit, so let's take another nice deep breath in and release. You have so much to contribute. Let these words help you welcome all that you are, the yin and the yang of you. As I relax into my body, I realize there's a reason I am who I am. I am perfect in my gender. Everything about me is needed and valued in this physical life. I allow myself to expand myself fully and authentically. I embrace my strengths unapologetically. I embrace and nurture my body unashamedly. Let's breathe that in. Let's stand in our power. Let's stand in our strength. I want you to kind of be with it. Some questions we want you to play with maybe this next week. What are your dreams? What excites you? What does your soul want for you? Do you have people you stand up for? Do you have people that stand up for you in your life? How can you find ways to feel safe?
And, you know, it's always good, you know, just have a place where you can be quiet, put your hands in your heart, and just take three nice deep breaths and being able to just kind of be in this place of reflection and just deep listening with yourself. And, you know, the answer will come when it comes. That's the perfect answer. Yeah. So next week it's going to be great. We're going to be talking about living fearlessly. I live my fearless life. There we go. With myself being authentic and just loving myself. So. It's been a wonderful journey with Miss Anita Majani, and I appreciate all the work she does, and as with Miss Amy and just all of our listeners and all of our guests. We always are so grateful and just have the opportunity to be with you guys. So we thank you as always, and we'll see you next time here at the cafe.
Woohoo! Love you. One more ding. Right?
Love you too. There you go. All right. Ding-a-lay.
All right, is our lovely hostess going to call and talk us out?
I don't know. She's still going.
She didn't want to start.
It was
she
the intro, and the outro is like, hello. Doing the same thing. It's so funny. Yeah. Well, Mercury's in retrograde. There you go. It's so funny to try to do it one more time here. The real deal.
All right. Come on, girl. You can do it. You can do it. We stand with you. We stand for you. Go ahead.
Nope. Okay. Love you. Thank you all for joining us. Have a great week, and we'll see you. Talk to you later.